looking our Bibles together, and in the book of Hebrews here, if you care to follow along. No, I'll be fine. Thanks for offering. Oh, excuse me. I may not be in the book of Hebrews. Hang on. Well, we could start there. I've got a verse in Hebrews. Hebrews 3:6. Would somebody like to volunteer to read out Hebrews 3:6? Yeah, Mary, thank you.
This is fine print. Six, let's do that six. Yeah, okay. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and are boasting in our hope. I got the English Standard Version.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, but as Christ was Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. The phrase that caught me there was whose house we are, whose house we are. A couple of other verses we can look up together that I'm sure you've already run across. 1 Peter 2:5. Anybody like to be a reader for 1 Peter 2:5?
Ye also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Ye also, as lively or living stones, let me give you the Amplified. Be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:5. We also have Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:19-22. Would anybody like to read that? Debbie?
Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
So I wasn't planning for it all to come together like this, but we just got off reading about and singing about the incarnation and the atonement. You know, atonement just means what it says, at one meant what brought us to a place where we could be one with God. And those are greatly mysterious teachings, doctrines, very mysterious, like how this could all fit together. And then we come on to this, we're into now the doctrine of the church. And once again, we're into the same realm of mystery. There we see shadows of it. God has ordained shadows of it in his word. And we get a hint of what he's driving at. But how exactly it all flows together is just high. And it's no surprise that maybe theologians have debated some of the finer points of these things for millennia. But it just goes to show that God's economy and what God has ordained in the universe is a beautiful thing. But here, I was just thinking about the church and the house where Jesus lives. The house where Jesus lives. The house of Jesus is us. Think of that, and it's us. It's not me. It's not Tim. Although Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, does live in us as individuals. But the house where Jesus lives is us collectively. That's what I believe the Bible is saying here. It's us collectively. You can't make a house with one brick. He lives in our midst as a body corporate. And when we think of the richness of our Christian experience, it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we endeavor to live our Christian lives with an eye on his word, of course, comparing and contrasting and seeking to walk in all the fullness of what he has bought and paid for in Calvary. And it seems to me that the church is one of the channels through which we receive a large portion of our experience of the Christian life, right? Because God has seen fit to tie up in other people what he has for us. Other people what he has for us. So it is of great concern to us, therefore, that our experience of the church, our lives together as the church, our practices as the church, would be heading in the direction of what God has instructed for, what God has ordained, so that we wouldn't fall short of what he wants for his glory in us. So if we just take this, that the Bible has said that we are the house of God, and we think for a second about a house, we know that in a house, every part has to be in its place.
Right.
There's no point in having a downspout at the front door because that's just going to be, well, what's going on here? Every part has to be in its place, doing its job, for that house to be a suitable place to live. We read together that each part was fitly joined together, like a jigsaw puzzle, or fitly framed together, like that those eaves, those what do you call those triangles that make the roofs out of truss. Yeah, you know, all those trusses have got to be tied in just right on the top of the walls and everything. It's got to be fitly joined together. The right, you got to have a, you know, a flat. If you have a flat boards got to lay on top of another flat boards, lay on top of a round board, that's not going to work. So all the parts have got to be in their place, fitting beside the next part in an appropriate way. So each component has to have a component next to it in the system that it flows with. Who are the individuals God has called you to be set beside and work closest to in this house? Obviously, in general terms, it's all one another in this room, for starters, in general terms, because most of us that I've discussed have sought to find God's will as to where they're to be in the body of Christ, despite their personal opinions or prejudices, and through the hand of God have felt led to this little place where a number of disciples are gathered. So in general terms, yeah, we're called to be beside one another of this fellowship. But even more specifically than that, even, it's amazing, Jesus spent most of his time with 12 guys. The logistics of even trying to share your life with 60 people, you can't do it. So even within this fellowship, there's people that we are called to be more adjacent to than others. You see what I mean? Who is that for you? If we are a house, do we know where we're to sit in the house? Who we're supposed to be maybe more frequently on the phone to a couple of times a week? Or and who do we flow together with in a complementary way? We all love one another, but sometimes the giftings, the personalities don't quite seem to flow together as they do with others. You know what I'm saying? But that doesn't negate the fact that we all have a place and we all have people that God wants us connected with. It says in Ephesians that the body of Christ grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So if I asked you, who are you called to be right beside, aside from all of us in general, maybe even some within this room, who are you called to be right beside, what's your job? What's your job? We've asked this of one another before. You know, whether roofing's there to flow the water off, windows are there to let light in and keep the cold out. Every part of the house has a job. What job has God called you to in the church? There's the church is the perfect economy. There's no unemployment in the church. There's no unemployment. There's no lack of jobs in the church. There may be a lack of employment, but it's not through a lack of opportunity. And whatever God lays on your heart and shows you into is the right answer to that question. What's your job apart from nothing? You know, there's nobody who has a nothing job. There's somebody for every single person to be part of the house. So we thank God for that, because we're made for that, to have a purpose, to have a meaning. What is your job in the church? If I had to say to you right now, just close your eyes. Just pause for 30 seconds. And think of what your role is in this place. Maybe some people have a clear idea, maybe others maybe struggle more to know the precise boundaries of it. But Lord, we just pray that you'd help each and every one of us to know what we're to do and what we're not to do, God. The will of God, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Not have more put on us, anyone here, by the expectations of men, the false expectations of men, and not have any less put on us by that word can't, cannot, I can't do it. When you said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you, or I don't have time, when you said you made 24 hours in a day and you're never going to give us any more than 24 hours worth of stuff to do in a day. So, Lord, just help us. Help us to know God. Help us to be the house that's properly built. And if you have a house, you look after your house. You maintain it. If you're a homeowner, you make sure that the basement isn't cracked, the foundations are okay. Because if there's an issue with the house, it's going to start getting uncomfortable after a while. You don't want leaks or moldy walls, or even your walls could fall down eventually. You want to check your foundation. And we read together that the house of the Lord was built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Do we have that foundation? Apostles and prophets. Who are the apostles and prophets that have fed into our lives, that are part of our fellowship, or that we're in regular contact with? Have you ever wondered about that? I pray about that from time to time. Jesus, help us. We don't want to have any part of our house. If you're missing a foundation, you're in big trouble. But the apostles, that which is foundational, keeps us centered on Christ. The prophets are like sledgehammers that see where there's some wavering or something getting off course, and they're course correctors. But in this house, we've got to have good joints, good connections between each components. So what we have is none other than what we have relationally with one another. That's it. We've got God, we've got the Holy Spirit in us, and we have one another, and how we're connected and how we relate to each other. So the degree to which this house is built is strong, is beautiful, is going to be based on how our relationships with one another. Would that be a fair comment perhaps to make? That we would know one another. That we would have a quality of relationship with one another. That we would have a friendship with one another. There's a scary word right there, eh? That we would spend time together as is appropriate. That we would trust one another. That we would be able to be transparent with one another. That we would have some kind of healthy conflict resolution mechanism. You know, when you have some bricks there and the mortar that joins them together starts to crumble once in a while, you've got to get some tuck pointing done. But as long as you get that done, then that's okay. You can go on. But there needs to, in all relationships, there needs to be some healthy conflict resolution. But the cool thing is, I found when I was in business, Jerry might be able to give him an amen, your best clients are the ones you've fallen out with and fixed the problem. They trust you even more. Because someone you've never had a problem with, you don't know yet what would ever happen if you had a problem. Somebody you've had a problem with and fixed it, you know whatever comes in the future, whatever direction the paths go, we'll figure out a way through it. So this was just something that was on my heart this afternoon and part of my Bible reading. The Bible can be full of some beautiful ideas and concepts and the doctrine of the church, but it always boils down to what they said in the book of Acts. What must we do? You know, what must we do for this house to be healthy, for us to be healthy components within the house, and some of the study questions that I brought forth for us to trust the Lord to help us to be clear in these points individually and with one another. Father God, we thank you for your church. We thank you for the mystery of it, God. And our desire is simply to be the church. We're sorry, God, for where the church has not been a picture of your beauty in our society. And our simple desire is not to fall short of 100% of what you ever intended when you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to humiliate hell, and as it said, to be the chief cornerstone of this building. And our apostle and high priest. So God, we give ourselves to you, looking to you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.